about the fathers.
And on he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and sat down to teach them.
The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group.
And said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery.
In the law Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?"
They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger.
When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her."
Then he stooped down and wrote on the ground.
At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there.
Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?"
"No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin."
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mahayu vocal team. And now we'll have Amanda Kender deliver her message for the glory of God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it wonderful to praise the Lord through songs?
Yes.
Now, I would like to make an announcement. I am a sinner. I should be condemned and sent into hell. I was lost, but now I am found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can all be found.
Amen.
Jesus wants to save us, not condemn us. Let's read the key verse, John 8:11, together. From John 8:11. Let's go.
No one serves, he said. Then live your life and then
you,
Jesus
Christ,
go now and leave your life of sin.
Let us pray. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, wonderful Counselor, majestic, holy, and wonderful God, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for this morning and for this joint summer Bible school. We thank you for everyone here and for the privilege of being able to come before you to praise you. Lord, I pray that you give us humble and contrite hearts so we might fully be yours. I pray that you touch many hearts with this message and that many grow closer to you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth to teach, to heal, and to save. We thank you for his Son, his death on the cross for each and every one of us. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Life is oftentimes a roller coaster of happy and depressing times. You know this. Sometimes poor choices can lead to depression, low self-esteem, and even condemnation by oneself and others. However, we can have confidence that we are not condemned by God if we truly repent of our sins and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Amen.
How do we know this? John teaches us of the mercy and shepherd heart of Jesus. Look at John 7:53 and 8:1. Sarah, would you read it?
Then each went to his own home, but each went to the Mount of Olives.
Thank you. Why were people going home? The answer? The Feast of the Tabernacles, which ended. This was an 8-day celebration, which commemorated God's provision through the land, and the time when God's people wandered through the desert, having to depend on God alone. This celebration, much like our 50th, as expected, those who traveled went home. But Jesus did not have a permanent earthly home. Instead, he went and spoke with his father on the Mount of Olives, a spot he often visited to pray. At night, no doubt, he prayed about the people he had just witnessed to, the Pharisees who were trying to kill him, and his impending death on the cross. Jesus had many worries. Today, we feel we have many worries as well. When we feel overwhelmed, and even when we do not, we should always take everything to God in prayer.
Amen.
Our God cares for us and wants us to put our full trust in Him. Just like with any other lasting relationship, communication is vital. Communication allows opinions to be expressed, requests to be made, and comfort from words of encouragement. Through our communication with God, God can strengthen us in Him and to continually do His work for His glory. And what strength Jesus received from His Heavenly Father. Without even sleeping, verse 2 tells us that at dawn, He appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around Him, and He sat down to teach them. Not only did God give Him the physical strength to continue, but He gave Jesus the courage to teach where the Pharisees could reach Him. We know, through the previous passages of John, that the Pharisees were trying to plan a way to catch Jesus in either an action or in a blasphemy punishable by death. Jesus was not only a rival, He spoke words that struck at the hearts of the religious leaders. But these men's hearts were hard, and Jesus' words did not soften them, but merely put salt on a wound. So, the Pharisees took the opportunity to catch Jesus in what they thought a bulletproof plan. Look at verses 3 through 4. Sarah Jen, if you could please read 3 through 4.
Teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They had to stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman is caught in the act of adultery."
Thank you. It is a dreadful and saddening thing to be caught in the act of a sin. I'm sure many of you can relate to this. Through the grace of God, we are forgiven, but the guilt can still linger. This woman was caught in the act of a sin, punishable by death. Adultery can be defined as breaking a marriage vow through unfaithfulness, which can include affairs of fornication, homosexuality, and pornography. Perhaps this woman had chosen a life of prostitution in order to feed herself. Or perhaps she was simply giving in to the temptations of the flesh. Regardless, she was a sinner. Jude 1:7 testifies to the severity of the sin. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. And this is the hard part. I must repent that I am an adulterous woman as well. I have looked at a man and lusted. I have dealt and sometimes continue to deal with the addiction of pornography. I have asked God for forgiveness and have felt like He simply handed me over to the Pharisees to be stoned. But I know this to not be true, for He sent His Son to die for me, to cleanse me of my sin. Although I have never stopped believing in God, I have turned my back on Him. I must repent that even when I asked for forgiveness, I truly did not want to leave my life of sin. But God kept after me. Through His grace and His love, He gave me parents who asked the tough questions. He gave me a mentor who opened my heart to spiritual weapons against the devil, and a friend who shared my struggles. And and remind me of the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ every day.
Amen.
The one failsafe, the one answer to these temptations is to fall on my knees before Jesus Christ, asking for his protection, asking for his forgiveness, and asking for the strength to repel these demons. By the grace of God alone, he has given me far more than I deserve. Now, from John, verse 5a, tells us that in the law, Moses commanded them to stone such women. Stoning is a painful and laborious way to die, obviously. It is death by torture. Within the Jewish culture, the only individuals who could impose stoning were the religious leaders. However, since Israel was under the reign of Rome at the time, the religious leaders knew that putting someone to death meant breaking Roman law. However, Jesus knew the hearts of the religious leaders as well as that of the woman, and was prepared to answer the question put to Jesus. Now, what do you say? Verse 6a clearly explains the religious leaders' intentions. Kevin, would you please read verse 6a, just that first sentence?
Okay. They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him.
Thank you. Jesus knew their question to be a trap. So he exercised his great communication skills and understanding of the human heart. Instead of overreacting, avoiding the question, or even running away, he stooped to the ground. The King James Version explains Jesus' actions well. From verse 6b, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger began to write on the ground, as if he heard them not. I can imagine the situation. The Pharisees coming to Jesus, thinking they had outsmarted him, claiming premature defeat over Jesus, coming to Jesus and asking a question as if they knew more than him. But Jesus remained calm and respectful, something we should do as well when dealing with unkind people. There was also another matter at hand. The woman. She stood there before the crowd of many people, people who had come to hear Jesus' teachings. The people, although interested in the outcome of this current situation, no doubt, were annoyed at the intrusion by the religious leaders. They wanted to hear good news from a great teacher. But now, the Pharisees had brought a dilemma before Jesus. And now, every eye was on both the woman and on Jesus. The woman stood there, probably red with embarrassment, knees knocking for fear of her punishment, and a heart sinking when she saw Jesus stoop to the ground. I know I would react rather similarly, but to both the woman's chagrin and relief, the Pharisees kept persisting. Jeremy Narr, would you please read verse 7 and 8?
When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground.
Thank you. What a response! Not only did Jesus acknowledge the sins of the woman, but he exposed the sins of the religious leaders as well. Jesus cut into the hearts of these prideful men. He also cuts into the heart of this prideful person. I know for me, if I was to propose a question to someone and they just sat down on the ground and started to draw, I would be thoroughly exasperated with them. I would want an answer now, or at least some sign that they were coming up with something. But to receive such a response, so obvious, yet wise, it would certainly sting my heart as well. Yet, is it not easy to condemn, to blame, and to judge others only? But to look at ourselves is another matter completely. Matthew 7:5 is the perfect example. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye so that you might see clearly in order to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Essentially, first look at your own heart through the light of Jesus Christ and evaluate who you are and to whom you belong before you examine someone else. With Jesus' wisdom now on every person's heart, the religious leaders were humbled. Jeremy Hagin, would you please read verse 9?
Yes. At this time, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there.
Thank you. Turning away was the only appropriate response. These men knew they were sinners, but their position elevated their egos to the point where they thought they were righteous. Romans 3:10 explains, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. That extends to us as well. It is a sad reality. No one in this room is righteous, and no one in this world is righteous. But we can strive to be like Jesus, the one who was and is the only one righteous.
Amen.
The religious leaders' minds were open to the fact that they were not all they thought they were. They were sinners, just like the woman they had brought before Jesus. And now, oh, the ecstasy and the fear in the woman's heart as she watched the people leave. But Jesus remain. The woman no doubt knew that Jesus was the Son of God after experiencing these events and knew that only he could throw that first stone. What Jesus asked next probably puzzled the woman. Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Jesus declared. No one had. And with that, Jesus showed her his love, his mercy, and his shepherd's heart with this gift. From our key verse, verse 11. Let's read it together.
Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin.
This same gift and this same command are given to us today.
Amen.
John 3:17 declares, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Amen.
In conclusion, we have been given an amazing opportunity to know whose we are and to be the example of his love. Jesus has not condemned me. He has loved me. So, we should do the same to others. We, as human beings, cannot forgive others of their sins, but we can lead them to the one and only who can, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
However, we cannot only speak of his abundant love, for with his abundant love comes a command. A command to go now and leave your life of sin.
Amen.
To bow down before our Heavenly Father and give ourselves to him.
Amen.
Repent. Leave your life of sin. Devote your lives to God and accept Jesus Christ as your one and only Savior.
Amen.
By following this command, showing his love and compassion, and spreading the good news of the kingdom of God and of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we can lead others to the greatest gift of all, a lasting relationship and eternal life with our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I have decided to place my trust in Jesus Christ, to welcome Him into and to allow Him to reform my life, to repent of my sins, and ultimately to leave my life of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I was lost, but now found in Jesus.
Amen.
Let us read the key verse, verse 11, one more time together. Let's go.
No one, Lord, she said, but neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin.
Let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and your love, your everlasting love. Lord, you love us more than we can even comprehend. We thank you for that. And you've shown that through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for our sins, so that we might have eternal life with you, so that we might be able to reconcile ourselves with you and come close to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to be able to worship together and to hear your words together. Lord, we thank you for providing us with material things that bless us every day, this building to be able to come and worship you. Lord, we thank you for everything. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.